loving women. And of course, he does love men, too. Next week, I want to let you know about this before I forget. Next week, I am going to be talking about Jesus and drugs. Some of you are at your wit's end. Some of you are saying, you know what, I have friends and loved ones who are involved with drugs. And what is the Lord's perspective on this? And so that is what we're going to look at next week. And we're going to have some information that I think is going to be very, very challenging and encouraging and giving you hope in the midst of a whole lot of despair at this time in our country. Well, today we are looking at a wonderful subject. Some of you broke out in sweat when you saw it, a cold sweat, Jesus and money. Remember, Jesus spoke more about money than he did about any other subject, by far. So it wasn't a subject that he was uptight about. But he knew that all of us needed a steady dose and a steady understanding from his point of view. If not, we're going to have major problems with this issue. I like this. After a sermon on stealing, a man wrote the IRS, "I can't sleep knowing that I've cheated on my income tax. Enclosed is a check for $150. If I can't sleep, I'll send you the rest." I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's working, does it? Never lend money to a friend. It's dangerous. It could damage his memory. Oh, okay. Yes. Well, listen, all of us are challenged with this issue called money. And it's something that in each one of our lives, we have to say, "Lord, what is it that you have for my life in this area of money?" And we're going to be looking at two parables this morning. The first one here, the second one really in Matthew 25, but the first one is back in Matthew 24, and it concludes the time of Jesus' teaching on the tribulation. And that first teaching on servanthood has to do with being continually ready. And of course, if you're in the tribulation, you only have 7 years. You don't know what's going to happen. And so the bottom line is, you better be ready each and every moment, knowing that at the end of 7 years, Jesus is going to come back again. But don't lose perspective, because all hell is going to be against you each and every day in a powerful, powerful way. And so you don't want to stop your readiness. But in this second parable on money, on the servants that he's going to be talking about, it is how to be ready. And it is a parable from the time that Jesus leaves the Mount of Olives to the time that he comes back again. So it is going to cover all of the church age and all of the tribulation also. How to be ready. What is it I have to do? Now, as we go through this message, I want you to remember one thing. None of what we do saves us. But what we do and how we serve should be a reflection of the work of Jesus Christ that's already been done in our hearts. The work of salvation that's already been done in our hearts is going to have a result. And we want God's results in our lives, not our results. And so our works are going to follow whether or not we are alive in Christ or not alive in Christ. And so today, when you hear how you are to be ready as a servant, and right now in this church age, as we're waiting for the rapture to take place, we have to have in our minds, "Lord, this is not what is saving us. We are already surrendered to you, alive in you, and I'm praying and hoping that that's the case. If not, I'm praying that you come under conviction. You come under the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to convict you of wickedness and of wrongdoing, and that you'll repent and that you'll turn to him and embrace him as your Lord and Savior. After that moment of embracing him as your Lord and Savior, then you should have works that glorify him and honor him. And so the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And Jesus is speaking of himself, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, make sure you don't miss whose goods we're talking about. Who are we? Whose goods are we talking about? The Lord Jesus, right? It's his goods that he has delivered to them. So as you keep this in your mind, just remember that it is his resources that we're working with. So much of the time, we have ownership, don't we? We want to say, well, this is my money, or this is my retirement plan, or this is my house. And I think one of the things that today I want to encourage each one of you with is this. Maybe you need to make an adjustment and say, you know what? All that I have belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's hard. That's hard at times because we're very possessive. But it's his goods that he has given to these servants. And if you're alive in Christ, you're the servant. You're one of the servants. So how are you to be ready? How are you to live your life with the money, the resources, the talents, the time that Jesus Christ has given to you and given to me? How are we to live our lives? Well, it starts off by what we've received from the Lord. And all of us have received different qualities, different quantities that we are to serve him with. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And God has given us different abilities. And so at this point, we realize whoever gives you something, they're the owner. They are the one making the decision. And since this is a parable that is giving us a heavenly understanding of what's going on down here on earth, we say, he is Lord of all. He is the owner of all that we have. He is the one who determines how much we have, what we are going to work with. In other words, we're not God. He is. And he's making the determination. And immediately he went on a journey. He ascended into heaven. And now we are in this age where we are to be serving his interests. We are to be serving him as our Lord. We're concerned about his kingdom. That's what Jesus wants us to have in our minds as we are going through this time in this message. So the first thing that I want you to see here, Jesus is owner of all money and is not a socialist. Now, I'm throwing that in there for why. Because we're hearing a lot about socialism right now. And we have some popular young Congress women who have come in and they're pushing socialism, and they're saying that we need free education for everybody and we need free health care for everyone. And no one's giving an explanation of how you're going to pay for that. But the thing here that I want us to begin with is that Jesus, being the owner of all money, is not trying to make everyone equal in his kingdom. What he's doing is saying, you're all going to serve me. If you're going to surrender and if you're going to follow me, then you are going to look to me as the one who determines your gifts, the talents that you have, how much money you're going to be able to make. Now, that's hard to accept, isn't it? Because we want to be in control. But when you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, you surrender everything to him. Now, think of it. We're in a world that has rejected God's ways. That makes us shine ever brighter. If our country turns into socialism, I'm not worried. In fact, I know that the church is going to be able to give out the message in a bright, bright way, a bright, shining light. Anytime you have darkness and you light a candle, boy, it lights it up, doesn't it? And the encroaching darkness, all it means is that we better be shining more bright each and every day. I want to look back a couple hundred years, a little over 200 years, to a historian, Alexander Fraser Tytler, who said this: a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury, meaning they can vote themselves to have more and more money. Now, there is an end to the money. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. Now, it doesn't matter what party you belong with. All of them are promising lots of money to everybody. It doesn't matter what party. I mean, it matters on social issues, but financial issues, it doesn't matter. Everybody's pretty much on the same page. Why? Because we're going trillions into debt. And no party has stood up and said, we need to stop this. We need to stop all of our spending. No, they're just spending like a bunch of drunken sailors. Why? Because we're at a point where the majority of the electorate believes that the government owes them something. Now, who's the government? It's we the people, isn't it? So just reach into your pocket this morning or your pocketbook and just pull out all that you have in your hand, your money, and just say, you know what? All of us want this money. And the government thinks it knows how to spend it. And it's only been shown to be the worst steward of money. And to make things work with the money that we give it. So we should give it less. But that's not going to happen, so don't hold your breath. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations have been around 200 years. These nations have progressed through the following sequence: from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. And I you know, as I look at different countries, I see that some go through this cycle quickly. Some of them miss some of the parts of it. But I'm looking at America, and I'm seeing that we are at a place where we are already past the selfishness, and we're dealing with apathy dependence, where people in their minds are saying the government owes to do this for us. That's a cry of despair. I can't do anything for myself. And that is something that we need to have in our minds as Christians and ask ourselves, do I have this mindset? Or do I have the mindset that I have a Lord who knew how much talents to give me? They're not the same talents as someone else. I look at some of the people around and I go, wow, they are so gifted. Man, they can make money hands over fist because it's so brilliant and they understand that. Oh, God bless them. That's wonderful that you gave it to them, Lord. They're your servant. I'm not the Lord. You are. You can determine how much you want to give each person to work with. And whether or not they're going to be a faithful servant is up to them, isn't it? But some of us begin to be impacted with the philosophy of the world that says what? It's not fair. They have that. Now, as a Christian, that should not be part of your vocabulary. As a Christian, you should say, God is Lord over all. And he gives to his servants what he wants them to work with. That's not my call. That's his call. My responsibility is to be faithful with whatever he gives me and to rejoice and to be faithful and to honor him. Now, that is something you want in your mind as we go through the rest of this parable. Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ is just. He is perfect. Whatever he's given you, whatever he has given me, that is what the Lord wanted to do. And I'm not going to argue with him. He can do whatever. He knows what is best for his kingdom. And he knows what he wants to accomplish through his kingdom. He who had received the 5 talents went and traded. And the word there means work. Ergazamai. He worked. So that's setting the pace. Jesus is making sure we're not missing what he did. He went out and worked. Remember, the scripture tells us that if you're not willing to labor, you shouldn't eat. Right? And so here this man is working, and with those talents that he was given, and he made another 5 talents. Likewise, he had received 2, gained 2 more. So these guys are being resourceful, and they're being responsible, and they're being applying their service for the king, for the Lord. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And so in case you didn't believe that we were talking about money here, the word is silver. It's for money. Jesus is talking about money, all right? And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, it's interesting. Jesus here says, after a long time. Now, 2,000 years to me has been a long time. But it might be another 1,000 years. I don't know. But Jesus is giving a little hint here, isn't he? After a long time. He's going to come and he's going to settle accounts with them. It means that he's going to go over the books. It means that he's going to analyze what you have done. If you belong to him, if you've repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in him, and he's given you a brand new heart, no works have been done yet. You haven't done any good deeds. He's done a supernatural work of causing you to be born again when you repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in him. That's new birth. And it has nothing to do with the works that we're talking about. But these works can only be done if you're alive in him. Because if you're not alive in him, you're going to be full of envy. You're going to be angry when you look at somebody having more than you. You're going to begin to become a socialist and say, we need to distribute all the money equally. It's interesting, in every socialistic government, you might not have been in one. I've traveled in a few. It's always the few governing rulers who have all the money. Everybody else does have equality. They're equally poor. Everybody. That's what socialism is all about. You have an elite group telling everybody else that they need to be quiet, sacrifice, and be happy because they're equally poor. All right. So he comes and he's going to settle the accounts. Jesus holds us accountable for how we serve him with his money. That's the first thing that we need to have in our minds. Now, you might say, well, it's my money. But we've already established he's the one that gives. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. He gives us a certain amount of money to work with. And so we need to say, Lord, I'm in your kingdom. I'm alive in you. You are the one that gives wealth, as it says in Deuteronomy, right? He's the one that provides wealth. We don't do it. And so whatever he gives us to work with, and our abilities, then we need to be faithful and honor him and say, I am serving you, Lord, with your resources. Waking up every day, isn't that freeing? I'm serving you, Lord. I'm not serving myself. I'm not serving someone else. I'm serving you because I believe your kingdom is what is most valuable. I pray every morning, your kingdom come. And if I'm praying your kingdom come, I'm saying, Lord, I want to do what is going to promote your kingdom, because no other kingdom can match your kingdom. Yours is the only one that brings life. Nothing else provides for life. So now Jesus is going to expand on what this settling the accounts means. The one who had received five talents came. And what did he do? He brought five more talents. Boy, he was faithful. And he said, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. Simple, straightforward. Here it is. He's just open with his Lord. He's very responsive. How are you going to stand on the day when the Lord Jesus settles accounts with all of us on how we worked in his kingdom? This is not having to do with whether or not you're saved. This has to do with what you did in his kingdom. And Jesus is helping us to understand someday we're going to rule and reign with him. And it's going to be directly related how we rule with him on how we served him. What can he trust us with? And he can trust us in direct proportion to how we served him with the gifts that he's given to us. Have we been faithful? And he goes on, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter to the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord, to be with him forever and ever and ever. And you will rule and reign with me. And I can trust you because you are faithful. In your time here on earth, you were faithful to serve the kingdom that's going to last forever and ever and ever. It's not a kingdom that is going to last just for a few moments. It's not for 70, 80, 90 years, and then that's it. No, I am living and serving a kingdom that is going to have no end. It is going to replace all the kingdoms of this world someday. And I want to be found faithful with all the resources God has entrusted to me. They are his resources. He also, who had received two talents, came and said to him, Lord, you have delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents beside them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that someday? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Is he your Lord? You have to be able to answer that. Am I living all my resources? Are they his? And I'm leveraging them for his honor, for his glory, for his kingdom that will never end. Well, there's two things that I want you to have in your mind as you're thinking about these servants who were faithful with the five talents and the two talents. Part of what we need to understand as Christians, as we're living through this time, waiting for the Lord to come back again, anticipating his return, we need to have an attitude of being responsible. We have responsibilities. We are called to be sensitive to the poor. We're called to labor with our hands so that we will have something to give those who are in need. And it's clear from Scripture, you're not in need if you're unwilling to work. But you are in need if you are incapable of working. You don't have the ability to work. Well, then we need to step up as Christians. We need to love those people. We need to care for those people. We need to take care of them. So this is something that God has placed on every Christian's life. And one of the things I'm excited about here at Church at the Rock is I see a lot of times behind the scenes that many of you don't ever see. But I see many of you sacrificing for people who are in need. And that's an expression of what Jesus Christ has done in our hearts and lives. Amen. And we want to continue to be sensitive and responsive because we're responsible as his servants to touch those people who he brings into our lives who have needs, physical needs. Then we need to have in our mind rewards. There will be rewards. Don't forget this. Someday the Lord Jesus is going to settle account. What will your reward be? Are you going to hear good and faithful servant? Are you going to hear, come and be ruler over many things and enter into my joy, enter into my presence? That is going to be a place of great, great joy as you are fulfilling your responsibility here each and every day. Well, I wish I could stop here, right? But we have to look at this third servant, don't we? Then he had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. What, are you kidding me? That's what you know about Jesus? Oh, you're hard. Oh, you're harsh. There are many people who believe this. There are many people who say, he's not just. If he was just, he wouldn't allow all this suffering to take place. What they're saying is, he's harsh. He's a hard man. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Did you ever hear Jesus say anything like this? This is a little ridiculous, isn't it? What did Jesus say? No, go out and sow. What you sow, you're going to reap, right? What do people do who are unwilling to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? They twist his words. They don't want to be honest about what Jesus has said. So anytime you hear somebody beginning to argue about money or anything else, but especially about money, you know what? Think of this servant. Lord, I knew who you were. I can't trust you. You're harsh. Yeah, you wanna get blood out of a stone. Wow. This guy's twisted. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. This guy's not a servant. Let's just settle that right now. That's not the way servants think. And you can always tell when someone hasn't surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. They always have a lot to say. When you look at how many words this guy spoke and how many words the other servant spoke, he's taking 2.5 times the amount of words to explain to Jesus what he's done. Why? Because he's wrong. He cannot just say, here it is. But his Lord answered and said to him, you are confused and ignorant. You wicked and lazy servant. Wow. Wow. He doesn't say, well, you know, you've had problems in life. You're a little confused. You know, I know how you could misunderstand some things. No, he just comes at you, wicked and lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You know that? You know that? You're saying you know that? That is who I am? You're wicked. You're lazy. And you're saying that you know this about me? Then you should have had deposited in the bank at my coming. Deposited whose money? My money. The Lord's money. You should have deposited it with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. What's the remedy? Take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now, this is not going over big in America, is it? This is not something that you want to tell people, hey, you know how Jesus handles his money? If you handle it correctly, you know what? You're going to be blessed at the end of time when he settles accounts. We're not talking about in the here and now. We're talking about at the end when he settles accounts. And you know what? All the wicked people who have misused God's money and refused to accept Jesus as Lord and have lied about him, all that they had is going to be given to the guy who has the most. Well, that's not fair. Hey, he's faithful. And in God's economy, you will be rewarded for all eternity. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. A lot of people want to use this as prosperity, right? Prosperity speaking, preaching. No, We're talking about the end of time, how you will be blessed for all eternity. That's the keep your eye on the prize. The prize is forever and ever and ever, being into the presence of our Lord and Savior. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. What do you have today? What is it you have? Wow. If it's not being used for the Lord, and if you don't have in your mind that it belongs to the Lord, it will be taken away from you for all eternity. See, what you're holding on to right now and saying, oh, it's so precious, I'm going to make sure that I have all of this, it's only here for a little while. And if it's not used for the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's gone for eternity. It's gone. What is your fate? You'll be cast. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is hell forever and ever and ever. Money is very, very powerful, a powerful indicator of who you are in God's kingdom. A powerful indicator. Does it belong to him? Everything you have, does it belong to Jesus? Is he your Lord? Does he own all? Each person has a choice to surrender and serve the Lord of this universe or not to. All of us have a choice. What has been your choice? What have you done? I want to take a quick look at a man who was highlighted in the Old Testament and New Testament for handling what God gave to him in a proper way. The Jews said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would do his works. Abraham was surrendered. He was a servant that was looking forward to eternity. In James, Abraham, our father, wasn't he justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, or by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, meaning this. Abraham took that step of faith, and he says, I am going to follow the Lord God Almighty. And out of that belief in him that he was the true God of this universe, there came works that honored God. The works did not save Abraham. He was saved first. Then works that glorified his Lord happened. If you wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to grit my teeth and do good works and I'll be ready for eternity, you'll be lost. You're doing it for yourself. You have to humble yourself and say, oh, Lord Jesus, convict me of all of my lying, my stealing, my blasphemies, my idolatry, my coveting. Oh, disobedient to parents. Oh, God, whatever it is. Oh, Jesus, convict me so that I can be desperate for you as a Savior. We go to 14. This is Abraham meeting the great high priest, Melchizedek, who is like unto Christ. He could have been a theophanies of Christ. He was the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God, God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Isn't that interesting? Possessor of heaven and earth. That's who God is. He possesses everything. If you belong to him, then you say, everything I have belongs to my God. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And it says, and he gave a tithe of all, a tenth of everything that he had of the spoils that day. Now, he only took the spoils from the wicked kings who had kidnapped his nephew Lot and the king of Sodom and all of their goods. He would not touch one nickel from the king of Sodom. Why? Because he said, if I take one nickel from the king of Sodom, that king will say, I've made Abraham rich. And he said, there's no way. That's a lie. God has given me all that I have. And so from the spoils that he earned from going after his nephew Lot, he met Melchizedek. And the first thing he did, now remember, he's alike unto Christ. He gives them a tithe of everything. Hebrews, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all. First being translated, king of righteousness, and all, then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Sounds like Jesus to me. He is a forerunner of Christ, an example, an illustration of Christ. When you meet Christ, what is your heart want to do? Does it want to express itself and say, Lord, you possess all? Abraham, before the law was ever given, some of you want to say, oh, the tithe is the law. I'm not talking about that tithe. That was a different tithe that the law spoke of. I'm talking about the tithe that Abraham responded out of his heart when he met the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And now in Hebrews, they're bringing it up and they're emphasizing, the writer is emphasizing, he gave him a tenth, the king of righteousness, the king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning days nor end of life, but made like on the son of the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch, and he says it a second time, gave a tenth of his spoils. How do you respond to Jesus? Do you say, oh, you own everything? And you know what? I want to express. I want to express my faith. I want to express what I am in you. And it begins with a tenth of all that I have, I'm giving to you. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How was Abraham able to give Melchizedek a tenth of all that he had? How are you able, and so many of you are giving a tenth to Jesus each and every week here in the church? How are you able to do that? Because your friends and family think you're nuts. They think, you know, why are you doing, what are you doing with your money? That's where you can say, and say, oh, it's not my money. It's my Lord's money. I serve him. And I'm serving his kingdom. And someday he's going to come back and settle accounts. And he'll have rewards. And I'm going to enter into his joy. And I'm going to hear good and faithful servant. Because I've used the resources, the talents, the time, all of it. I've used it to honor him and to bless him. Well, how is it that Abraham could do this? Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Noah, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times. And they served other gods. They were idolaters, and they probably lived a heathen life. What happened? Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river. Then I called your father Abraham. Then I touched his life, and I said, come and follow me. Not the idols, not the false gods. What did Abraham have to do? Abraham had to say, to repent. He had to say, this is all wrong. I'm following the one true God. He had to say it in the midst of all of his family, in the midst of his friends. And that is the point of salvation for each and every one of us. We have to stop and we have to say, you know what? There's a river for me to cross. There's a wide chasm for me to cross. It separates death and life. It separates darkness and light. And it's something that is very clear. Will I repent and come over here into the light where Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and people look at me and say, what in the world happened to you? Let me tell you, I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I don't own myself. Jesus Christ owns me, and I'm serving his interests. all my money is used to serve his interests. And his interest is my family. His interest is my other friends. His interest is this community. His interests are people who are poor and cannot fend for themselves, not the lazy people. We have a lot of lazy people. And we're having socialists in our country say we need to give them all that they want. No, they need to work. So here we have this moment in Abraham's life where he is able able to see he made a decision. Have you made that decision in your life where you say, I'm with idol worshipers. I'm with fornicators. I'm with people who are covetous. I'm with people who are lying and stealing. And I'm enjoying it. This is my life. And God is calling me. He's calling me. Come and serve me. Come and have all of your resources acknowledge that I've provided them, that I'm the owner of them. Humble yourself, repent of your sin, and come over here and stand in the light as you've trusted my son Jesus on the cross for your forgiveness of sins, cleansing of your guilt. That's an amazing, amazing point to be. When you take communion this morning, if you do, and you don't have to, you might have it, you might pass it, let it pass by. But I want you to know something. Money is a big indicator on who's controlling your life. Money is a huge issue from Jesus' point of view. Because someday the accounts will be settled. And what is he going to see? How did you use all the resources that he put into your hands? Did you say they're mine? Or have you had your hands open? Lord, these all belong to you. How do you want me to leverage them for your glory, for your honor? I want to bless my family first. I want to take care of them. I want to make sure they're clothed. I want to make sure they have a home. I want to make sure that they're taken care of with food. I want to make sure that in the future I have something put aside so that they'll be taken care of in an emergency. You're very concerned about your family. See, if you don't start taking care of your family first, you're worse than an infidel. Did you know that? You're worse than an unbeliever. That's first. God wants us to do that. But he wants us to do it with the idea, the thought, the truth. All I have belongs to God. And I've met Jesus. Do I have the faith of my father Abraham? Do I respond and say, here's a tenth? Just immediately, here's a tenth. Or do I fight and do I say, that's stupid? That's ridiculous. I'm not going to be. I'll tell you, there's a reason why I see it emphasized in the New Testament. There's a reason why Abraham is lifted up. He got it right as far as what it meant to repent, leave the gods of his fathers. He had to leave everything that was precious that he grew up with, that he knew, and be honest about it and say, that's wickedness. I'm going to repent and turn to the one who is coming. I'm going to trust in him. And his response with money? A tenth of all. Sodom, you want to give me some money, king of Sodom? Keep it. I don't want a dime from you because you'll think you made me rich. Abraham was rich. And he's lifted up as a great man of faith. Who will you be when Jesus comes back again? How is he going to respond to you? Good and faithful servant or wicked and lazy slave? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray we'll take your word seriously to heart. For your honor, your glory. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.